Now for our keynote. And to introduce our keynote speaker today, David O'Neill, the area president of Wells Fargo Bank. David?
I know everybody's still eating, or some of you are, but Hattie. Good afternoon, and thank you, Ben, for the introduction. As Royce mentioned earlier, it is our privilege at Wells Fargo to have been the title sponsor for the Economic Outlook Conference since its inception about 16 years ago. And we're especially excited this year to welcome SEC Commissioner Mike Slive and Justin Connolly from ESPN to Aggieland, or as Jim rightfully said just a little bit ago, God's country. So we're glad to have you both here. Mike Slive was named the seventh commissioner of the SEC in July 2002 and has more than 40 years of legal and athletic administrative experience. Since his arrival at the SEC, he has developed initiatives designed to maintain and improve the SEC's position as one of the top intercollegiate athletic conferences in the nation, both on and off the field. During Slive's tenure, the SEC has won 62 national championships, including 8 bowl championship series crowns and 7 of the last 8. We're not going to talk about the last one. But the SEC has also won national titles in 15 of 21 sponsored sports during Slive's 12 years as commissioner. He is a native of Utica, New York. He graduated from Dartmouth College with a Bachelor's of Arts degree in 1962. He earned a Juris Doctor from the University of Virginia Law School in 1965, along with a Master of Law degree from Georgetown University Law Center in 1966. Please help me give a big Bryan College Aggieland welcome to SEC Commissioner Mike Slive.
Got a lot of whoops.
Thank you, David. Dr. Hussey, ladies and gentlemen, howdy. We can learn, even if we're from Utica, New York. We can learn a lot. Good afternoon. It's a pleasure to be back, and it's always great to be in Aggieland. And I'm pleased today particularly to have Justin Connolly with me, whom you will meet a little later. And he will be talking a lot about the SEC Network, really one of our very, very significant initiatives. You know, Texas A&M's move into the Southeastern Conference has been described by Dr. Lofton as a 100-year decision. And I can tell you now that if the first year and a half is any indication, it's going to be a great 100 years for the Texas Aggies. Now listen to this. Since joining the conference, A&M has won the national championship in men's outdoor track and field, was the national runner-up in women's tennis and women's outdoor track and field, won regular season SEC championships in women's tennis and women's outdoor track and field, won the SEC tournament title in women's basketball, beat Oklahoma in the Cotton Bowl and Duke in the Chick-fil-A Bowl, and brought the SEC its fourth Heisman Trophy in the last 6 years. Not a bad start. Not a bad start at all. In preparing for today's economic conference, I began to think about the evolution of the SEC from a regional to national entity and how the conference has been able to keep pace in a world where 140 character thoughts can move public opinions with a click of a mouse or a tap on a phone. We live in an era of competition to succeed that's as intense as ever, and that every leader, including each and every one of you, is looking for that golden opportunity to not only position his or her organization on top, but how do you stay there? And with that in mind, every day we in the SEC ask ourselves, how can we reach higher and get there faster than our competition and be better for having done it? You might be interested to know that all of this began 80 years ago. In 1933, 13 institutions finalized plans for a new athletic intercollegiate conference. 10 of the original 13 remain. And if you can tell me the other three, I'll buy you dinner. Anybody want to volunteer? Georgia Tech, Tulane, and Swanee. Right. I owe you dinner. And, of course, since then, we've expanded to a 14, and you know who those other four are. And 7 years later, the Office of the Commissioner was put in place. Now, if you're like me, I'm a historian and a history buff, and if you're a history buff, you'll enjoy this. In 1933, when we formed the league, the country was in a deep, deep depression. FDR was inaugurated to be our 32nd president. The first electronic television receiver was developed. FM radio was patented. A loaf of bread cost 8 cents, and you could buy a two-story house with three bedrooms and a mortgage payment of $45 a month. Times have changed. We've moved from FM radio to television to computers to mobile devices. The cost of bread and houses have multiplied in ways beyond my mathematical capability. Technology has evolved in ways we have never dreamed. And sports have become a regional and national obsession. The roles of the conference and its commissioner have evolved as well. We are now comprised of 14 institutions of higher learning coming together for the purpose of engaging in intercollegiate athletic competition. And one of the hallmarks of the Southeastern Conference is that our institutions agree to be governed by a constitution and a set of bylaws. In short, each institution was and is willing to delegate relevant authority to the conference, pursuant to the old adage we were all taught in geometry, the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. But what truly unites us, and what must unite any good organization, is our shared principles and our shared values. Dwight Eisenhower said, and I quote, "The supreme quality for leadership is unquestionably integrity. Without it, no real success is possible. No matter whether it's on a section gang, a football field, in the army, or in an office. That principle of integrity is the heart of any organization and serves as a compass for every individual within that organization, and this applies to the SEC. Before going on, I want to share a story with you from a recent SEC indoor track and field championship, in particular a shot put competition, which illustrates the commitment I've been talking about. There was a young man, his name was Lewis Day. He was a Carolina shot putter. And he learned that as the result of his performance in the preliminaries, he had qualified for the ninth and final spot in the shot put competition. However, both Day and his coach believed there must have been an error because the distance awarded on his final throw was well beyond any throw he made all year. The coach went to the meet's head official to report the error. He was advised that no one had lodged a protest. Without the protest, the throw would stand, depriving another young man, Caleb Whitener, a Georgia shot putter, from his opportunity to compete in the finals. The coach and Day decided the right thing to do was to file a protest themselves, reporting that Day had reached the finals without merit. After considering the protest, the head meet official expanded the field from 9 to 10 so that both of them could compete. And as it would be, Whitener from Georgia finished 9th and Day 10th. When asked why, the coach said, and I quote, "I just thought it was the right thing to do from the get-go. I never really thought about it. As coaches, we always try to stress to the student-athlete that the only accomplishments that are worth really anything at all are the ones you've worked for and that you can stand behind what you did." The coach, his name is Mike Sargent, an assistant coach at Carolina. His honesty and his integrity and his sportsmanship served as an inspiration to all of us and as an example for all our student athletes and our coaches to follow. And it's the kind of integrity that we believe you must have at the basis of any organization, and particularly an organization like the Southeastern Conference. We've been extremely successful, and there's obviously an economic component to being successful, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But the SEC has captured 86 national championships since the year 2000. That's an average of over 7 a year, and that's men and women, a third of the sports we sponsor. But we do believe that student athlete means what it says. And so our success is not limited to the field. You know, one of the great things about being a league known for football is being a league known for football. One of the difficult things about being a league known for football is getting people to believe that you can do anything else well. We win national championships in more women's sports than we do men's sports. I try to explain that to everybody, that we've got 5,000 student athletes competing in the SEC, and that one of my greatest thrills is because we're a broad-based athletic program for both men and women, and it's hard to explain to people. So clearly we are in the athletic realm, but it's not enough. The conference is also doing its part to put a spotlight on our academic strengths of all of our member institutions. SECU, the conference's academic initiative, established as a collaborative endeavor, is designed to promote research, scholarship, and achievement amongst SEC universities, and it is experiencing wonderful success. Last February in Atlanta, we held the inaugural SEC Symposium, which explored the Southeast's impact on renewable energy, bioenergy. Now, nobody in the world was going to believe that the SEC is going to be involved in bioenergy, but we are. We had presentations from a former Danish ambassador. We had people from all over the world speaking about it, about energy and the need, and how can we can develop the Southeast region in energy? What can we do to enhance the economic growth? How can we use the SEC to enhance the growth, the economic growth of the Southeast? We had more than 400 people turned out for the events, and now we're going to have a second academic conference this fall on obesity prevention, and it'll be a national and international event. You know, every year we honor student athletes. We honor our scholar athletes, and we honor the best athletes that we have. So we began to think about, if we're going to honor our best athletes, why aren't we going to honor our best professors? So we created the SEC Professor of the Year program, and each institution nominates a faculty member each year, and then our provost select the Professor of the Year. And these are men and women who have outstanding teaching experience and research. And we've had two so far, Dr. Locke Johnson from Georgia and Dr. Hap McSween from Tennessee. And we honor them at the same dinner, the same awards dinner, that we honor our student athletes. It's a way in which we can make the statement that not only are we a great athletic conference, maybe the greatest there is, and we are in our golden age at the same time, but we never forget that we're part of higher education, and that's part of our mission. In addition, we've just set up and put a grant in place. You know, one of the great things about us being able to be a revenue-generating engine for our institutions is that we're able to take some of this money and put it into the academic programs. And we've just started an academic collaboration that brings together students from all of our different schools working together on projects that will help promote their education. And I just said that, you know, this is probably the golden age of the SEC. I mean, we are winning more championships than ever. We are obviously, we are blessed with a great deal of revenue. We're blessed with a wonderful league. But, you know, just like you and your businesses, we cannot rest on our laurels. No champion can. So how do we continue to be creative and innovative, and how do we think outside the box? How do we maintain, you know, the old saw that it's hard to get to the top, but how do you stay there? It's harder to stay. It's harder to be on top, stay on top of the mountain than it was to climb there. So Winston Churchill once said, to improve is to change. To be perfect is to change often. And our focus is all on the future, always echoes that sentiment. So that leads me to the subject that Jason will be talking about in a little while. When we talk about the evolution of the SEC from a regional to a national conference, television has played a significant role in making it happen. From 1933 through 1951, conference games were on the radio, and you read about them in the morning paper. The first televised event in SEC history was 62 years ago in 1951 when Alabama played Tennessee on the air. You may remember that prior to 1982, college football television was controlled by the NCAA until Georgia and Oklahoma brought an antitrust action against the NCAA and prevailed. And it was this decision that allowed conferences to move ahead and to forge our own television agreements. Starting in 1984, the SEC began to have a syndicated over-the-air package. You know, we call it the SEC Game of the Week. We also began to televise on ESPN. ABC did our championship game, and then in 2001, CBS began televising it as well. In 1994, the SEC entered into a contract with CBS to become the league's network television partner. The SEC was then the first conference to have its own national broadcast over-the-air network. And it was that network that had a great deal to do with taking the SEC from a regional conference to a national conference. We extended that contract in 98, and then in 2008, just a few years ago, we entered into two historic 15-year television agreements, one with CBS and one with ESPN, that gave us unprecedented revenue and unprecedented distribution, both of equal value. Then, as we think about the future, one of the things I always tell our folks is for a commissioner, there is no such thing as today. When I get up in the morning and think about the day, the plan is already in place. It's going to be executed by our wonderful staff. They know what they're doing. So for me, today is always tomorrow. And I'm assuming for each and every one of you in your respective businesses, you must be doing the same thing. The question for me and my responsibility is, how do I position the league tomorrow, next week, next year, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 30 years from now, to be the kind of league that it is today? Hence the addition of Texas A&M and Missouri to the Southeastern Conference. And then that opportunity, that event, allowed us a chance to re-examine our television plans and led to the creation of the SEC Network, which we will launch this August, 7.5 months from now, as Justin always reminds me. This will give our fans great access to our favorite teams, more opportunities to watch our teams, to watch your rivals, and most importantly, I said in an interview before the meeting that this will give us a chance to highlight up close and personal our student athletes, our coaches, and our institutions. It'll give us a chance, for example, to highlight Texas A&M, not only athletically, but as a great institution, one of the world's great educational institutions, in a way in which we couldn't do it in traditional television. Justin will give you a lot of details, and then we're going to ask you to do something for us, but we'll get to that in a minute. You know, I think a little bit about, I've been known to say that in dealing with ESPN, our partner, that ESPN is really hurts, but its secret of success is that it acts like Avis. In other words, and that's what we want to do. We want to be at the top, but we want to be scared to death that we can't stay there, and we want to keep running like we've never been there before. We want to get there, and I assume that's what each and every one of you want to do in your own businesses. So with that, let me just talk a little bit more about Justin Connolly. He's going to give you the real show today. I'm the preliminary act. That's what I'm doing here today. And Justin is ESPN's Senior Vice President for Programming for College Networks, so to speak. But really, he is the President, CEO, and head honcho of the SEC Network. And he is leading all of our efforts to launch the network in just a few months. Prior to taking on this responsibility, Justin was Senior Vice President, National Accounts for Disney and ESPN Media Networks, and responsible for domestic distribution and licensing efforts for the Walt Disney Company. He's done a lot with sales strategies, and he's worked on the networks, and he's done a lot with the new digital media services. In his role as CEO of the SEC Network, he's involved in putting together 120 employees, developing the studios in Charlotte. So he's involved in production, talent, programming, marketing, and every single bit of the SEC Network. He's a special young man. He's a man of great ideas, energy, and commitment, and we could not be more pleased to have a man of his ability and his character in this leadership role. He's a native of Boston. You may have a little trouble understanding him when he speaks, but he did go to Harvard, and he got his MBA and his bachelor's degree at Harvard, so we think he can make himself clear. He and his lovely wife, Jessica, have 4 young children, and he doesn't see them very often, but we're really grateful. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's my pleasure to introduce Justin Connolly to talk about the SEC Network. Thank you.
That was quite an introduction. Thank you, Commissioner Slive. Let me try this. I've always wanted to do this. Howdy.
Howdy.
Oh, man. That is unbelievable. I love it. I love it. I was here before the Mississippi State game, which was the last home game of the season, and I had a chance to go to a dinner by the 12th Man Foundation, had a chance to watch the game up close and personal, and it's so impressive in terms of the commitment and just the connectivity that the fan base has with Texas A&M. So thank you for indulging me on that sort of dream I had since I visited that weekend. I do want to thank Commissioner Slive. I was going to say he's the most honest man I know until I heard him inflate my title and describe me. So I won't say that. I will say, though, he is a true visionary. He is one of the most authentic and genuine people that I've ever met. And more than anything, he's a man of integrity. And I have the great honor in this job of learning a tremendous amount from him, and I really appreciate it. Thank you, Commissioner Slive. I want to thank Eric Hyman, who's here, who is a great partner of ours. And thank you to Dr. Hussey, whom I met this afternoon, and I look forward to spending more time with him. I've been told I have a face for radio and a voice for silent films. So I'm going to try and dress this up a little bit in terms of the presentation. Bear with me because when we get into the AV and moving pictures and sound, sometimes there are hiccups. I'm hoping we won't have those, but I have had some recent presentations where there have been hiccups, so I always like to warn the audience. But I would like to do a little show and tell. So let's get started here. I want to show you just a clip of what makes the SEC so excellent, and hopefully it will roll here. Pretty impressive in terms of. And I get to be the messenger. So what I thought I'd do is really five things. I want to talk about the opportunity that sits in front of us. And when I say us, I mean us collectively. I want to talk about the marketplace and why we're so excited about the opportunity. I'll show a little bit of the content, at least some samples of what we've done in the past and what's coming. And then I'll talk about marketing and how we get the word out, and then sort of finish up on really an appeal to you for help, because we're trying to really extend the net and have as many folks help us as possible in this initiative in lead up to the launch in August. So let's talk about the opportunity first, and I think you saw some of it in that video. There's incredible passion that lives across all 14 institutions of the SEC. But I think you'd agree with me that it's not just about the institutions, it's about the communities that surround those institutions. And it's really, I think, the connection on why Commissioner Slive and I are here. And that is that we really look at this and say that success for the SEC network will create success not only for each school, but for each community that surrounds that school. And so the mission we have is really a collection of principles. The first is to grow the SEC, the conference as a whole, and its 14 member institutions, which clearly includes Texas A&M. It's to develop valuable promotional opportunities and a platform for all 14 of those schools to show what each of those schools means, not just in the conference, but means nationally. We want to expand the coverage for all 21 SEC sports, so it extends well beyond football into volleyball, track and field, softball, every sport that the SEC sponsors. Next, we want to increase the amount and quality of local event production. We're going to put well over 1,000 events on air exclusive to this network and product. And in order to do that, we need to create excellence locally. So we're going to cultivate training opportunities and professional excellence to make sure we can hit that goal. And the bottom line is that success for the SEC network will mean success for the Brazos Valley. It means it'll mean success for every community that surrounds each school. So why are we so excited? Let me talk a little bit about the marketplace out there that has us thinking that we have at least the dynamic for success. We are a nation of college sports fans. College sports ranks only second to the NFL in terms of fans and fan avidity. You can see that the NFL has about 181 million fans nationally. College sports has 500,000 less at 180.5 million. And when you break that out further, college football has 161.8 million fans nationally. Huge audience. That's who we're trying to talk to. That's who we're trying to reach and tap into. ESPN, we are incredibly proud of this. As Commissioner Slive mentioned, we try not to rest on our laurels, and that is we have a very well-known brand in sports. It exceeds in terms of the actual recognition of brands like the Olympics, the NFL, Gatorade, Nike, Adidas, et cetera. And that's not good enough. We need to actually marry that up with someone who has an even better brand than we do when it comes to college sports. And so we asked consumers and sports fans, whom do you consider to be the leader in college sports? And we did not expect this outcome, but the SEC has a higher score when it comes to being a leader in college sports. We happen to be number two, and this, I guess, we're the Avis to your Hertz, but we continue to strive every day to try to improve this and learn from our partners. Clearly, the SEC has something special and magical here, and to the extent we can kind of combine that together, we think it's going to be a terrific opportunity. So let me talk a little bit about the product and the consumer proposition. So what is it? What are we building for customers, and what do we want to bring to the marketplace? These days, we don't think of a network as the television experience that begins and ends in the living room. That's an important piece, and that's piece number one. So we have a linear television network that will be available and distributed through the likes of AT&T, UVerse, and other distributors to be named later. In addition to that, we want to surround fans when they leave their living room. And so we're developing a second leg of the stool called Watch SEC Network. You'll be able to get it on your iPad, your tablet, your PC, wherever you are, to the extent you want to watch content from the SEC Network, we're going to make it available to you. The key to that, and we'll get into it a little bit later here, is that's the way people consume, particularly younger generations today, and we have to do that in order to be relevant to them. Last but not least is we want to own a compelling platform on the Internet. And so secnetwork.com or secsports.com will be run by ESPN, sort of your one-stop shop for clips, news, highlights, scores, schedules, et cetera. We want to upgrade that site and make it one of the best conference sites in the country. So now we have to create some content to put on those platforms. And an important piece to that is to make it must-have content no matter which outlet you're using. So I mentioned this before. We're going to do over 1,000 exclusive live events each year. We're going to have 450 on the traditional television network. We're going to have 550-plus on all the different devices that you may use to consume content. We're going to do over 600 studio shows on an annual basis. We're going to have live news and information programming on average 5 days a week. We're going to do an on-site pregame show, much like College Game Day, that's going to travel to every campus during the course of the first football season of the network. We've already announced our first stop is actually going to be, our debut is going to be prior to the A&M at South Carolina game on August 28th. We're going to follow that up that Saturday in Auburn when Arkansas plays Auburn. We've hired Tim Tebow. We've hired Joe Tessitore. And we're on the hunt for other top-tier talent to anchor that show. The idea is to make it as relevant, if not more, to SEC fans than anything else they can view. In addition to that, we're going to have a centralized outlet for all school-produced events, and we're going to, as I mentioned, have a digital hub for scores, schedules, results, stats, and standings. That's the content we're trying to create to push through the platforms that we develop. On the linear network, I mentioned 450 live events. I just wanted to dig a little deeper on that. We're going to have at least 45 exclusive football games, 100 men's basketball games, 60 women's basketball games, and over 250 additional events from volleyball, softball, and every other Olympic sport that ESPN produces today. We're going to surround SEC championships, and we're going to also cover in-depth spring football and pro days like never before. A piece to this is to make sure that it's as compelling as possible, as I mentioned. And so I do want to draw your attention to, and you may already be well aware, that the first football game to air on the network is going to be A&M's opener at South Carolina on August 28th. And I just want to be crystal clear. There are two ways to see that game. You can go to South Carolina and attend the game in person, or you can get the SEC network. And we intend to make that a first-class, top-tier production so that it meets or exceeds all of your expectations. But we're thrilled to have it as an anchor game to kind of kick off the network for us. You're not alone, by the way. We're going to do a doubleheader that first night, and Temple is going to play at Vanderbilt in the late window. It will be the first time that a conference network has done a doubleheader with three teams that played in bowl games the previous year. We love the quality of play in the SEC, and we think it's going to help drive this business. I mentioned the digital platform and how we surround fans. We're going to do over 550 discrete incremental games on this platform. We're going to do them live. We're going to do them on demand. And we're going to do them in partnership with the schools. We are going to create an aggregated destination for all 14 schools. To the extent you are a fan of South Carolina or Florida or Vanderbilt or Ole Miss, to the extent you are an A&M fan, all of that content is going to be in one single destination for you to access. We see that as critical in terms of raising the profile and value for fans. And why do we put it on every device? Because that's where people are. There are over 130 million smartphones in the U.S., over 53 million tablets, and 62% of people who consider their smartphone their primary connected device access sports on a daily basis. We have to be there to be relevant. Since 2007, online and connected device video usage, whether it be smartphone, tablet, or otherwise, has increased over 7x. A key demo for us is young men, and it's up over 10x in that category. This is where we're headed, and we've got to get there before others do, and we will get there before others do. So that's a little bit of the kind of strategy on how we build the platforms and how we build the content. I thought what would be helpful is to give myself a little break here and show you a little bit of content. There's a franchise we currently have at ESPN called SEC Storied. What it does is it captures great stories across the SEC conference. You may have seen the film The Book of Manning. If you haven't, I thought I'd show you a clip here just to give you a little bit of taste of the types of things we're going to show.
Who's your favorite football player, then?
My dad.
Your dad's your favorite football player, too? Well, you're on the right track. You're going to be a football player when you grow up?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the perception that it was a plan. I was an NFL quarterback, and now I've got these boys, and I'm going to mold them into being an NFL quarterback. Not so.
Peyton, you drop back and throw Cook one.
I wasn't necessarily trying to expose him to it. I was just trying to have a great father-son relationship, and that's what I wanted. My dad was really proud of me. He was a tough guy, and I think he made me a tough guy.
quarterback Archie Manning. Mr. Manning, the pride of Brew, Mississippi, has made number 18 mighty big.
I'm kind of rolling along, playing college football, enjoying life, and all of a sudden, bam, I had to be a man. Number one picks in the draft. Won Super Bowls, MVP. Yeah, we pinch ourselves.
So that's the type of content that we try to put together, make it as compelling as possible, tell stories in a different way that people may not have heard or seen, may not have access to. I had a Coach Sumlin clip that I was going to play here that I've actually pushed off. You'll have to tune into the network to see it. What I am going to do instead is, and by the way, Coach Sumlin has just been fabulous in terms of what he's done here, and I'm serious. Tune into the network. We're going to do some things on Coach Sumlin when we launch. I do want to show our next feature, though, which is called Bo Barkley and the Big Hurt, and it's really just a short clip. It actually debuts prior to the launch of the network on ESPNU, February 24th, 8 p.m., and what the story tells is a year in time when arguably three of the most prolific athletes were on the same campus together, and how they try to size each other up with respect to where they rank in Auburn lore. So let me show the clip quickly here. Work in progress, but I did want to show it to you. You're the first to see it. So.
Charles Barkley has this running thing with me that who was the greatest Auburn athletes that ever, you know, lived? And he goes, well, you know, you're still number three. You know, I'm just letting you know you're three. I should be one, but I'm going to give it to Bo because he played two sports. I said, wait a minute, I played two sports, Charles. What are you talking about? No. There was Bo Jackson and there was you. Once Auburn won the national championship in 2010, he called me like a month later and said, you know, you just went down to four. I said, what are you talking about? Well, Cam just replaced you. He just won the Heisman Trophy, national championship. You might have moved down to four. So I called back and said, no, I don't know. That might have moved you down to four. This guy, I want to ask you, your rankings. Am I slip down to four?
No, you're never going to go lower than three. Listen, I got respect for Cam Newton, but Cam Newton was only here like 13 games. No, I got no respect. It's going to take something extraordinary to get in the top three at Auburn. It's going to take something extraordinary. Like I say, I got love for Cam, but you can't play here for 1 year and move into the top three.
It's just great, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to capture that. We're trying to get the heart and soul that lives on every campus and at every school and expose that nationally. I think we have a pretty good track record on it, but we're always trying to get better. And so content is the lifeblood of our business. If we do that well, most everything takes care of itself. The second piece, though, is to kind of build the highway to put the content on. And so we are trying to create a valuable proposition for distributors. So for Suddenlink or Dish or DirecTV or Time Warner Cable or Comcast, what we're trying to do is create a branded network which resonates with consumers. If we do the content piece well, I think we'll be successful in creating that resonance. The second thing is we have to actually help them sell their existing packages of video, internet services, telephony. We're partners. We have to help them kind of make their business matter to consumers. Included in that is advertising time that we provide to them to sell locally. We also, as I mentioned before, try to put the content on every platform so there's relevance. It's not just a television experience. Helps them sell their products and services. And we feel like we've had some good traction thus far, and our conversations continue. We have AT&T UVerse on board already to distribute the network. We're in some advanced conversations with others, but this is critical for the success, and it's an area where I'm going to loop back and ask for your help later. So a component to that, then, is how we market. How do we market to consumers? How do we market to our business partners? And really the focus is on the passion of the SEC fans and use that passion to drive awareness and interest locally for the network on a national basis. We're going to hit every media possible, online, print, TV, radio, digital. We're going to use national and local differently. We're going to have some messages that we'll use on the ESPN platforms and some messages that we're going to target locally to appeal to something that might be, particularly compelling for a certain fan group or base. But we're going to unify that all with a message, and the tagline is take it all in. And by that we mean take in the magnificence of the SEC. When you walk into a venue, when you attend an event, you get chills. And the idea is, hey, take it all in. Take in the pageantry, take in the experience, and we're going to try to bring that feeling to air in the campaign we do. We're also at times going to acknowledge distributors who are our partners. You'll see AT&T tagged in some of our commercials. The brand campaign launched in December, and it launched with a commercial called Not Just a Casual Fan. I'm actually going to show you a roll of ads here just to kind of get the temperature of the room a little bit. I'm going to reveal one spot that is specific to Texas A&M at the end. No one else has seen it before, with the exception of internal folks at ESPN. I showed it to the commissioner this morning. But I just wanted to kind of give you a sense of the creative we're running in terms of how we market the network. So there's a little bit of a flash screen here in terms of it ticking down, and there will be for all three. But take a watch. Did we get cut there? Okay. All right. Well, let's move on. It ends very well. We'll give you the second spot here. I think you'll love the track. Hopefully it doesn't get cut. I know the third or fourth won't, but.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
All right. Whew. Got cut right on the wrong spot. Because if you look at the screen right now, and you're an SEC fan, we have an edit to make here. But that's the challenge of being in the marketing business. And that spot's called Coaches, sort of an homage to all 14 SEC coaches to try to tap into that passion. I'm going to skip this next one, which is Statues. I'm going to go to the final, which is the A&M spot, which I know will run in its entirety. So take a watch. Let me know what you think. Nice. Yeah, it's a really different spot, and to the extent you see all four of them next to each other, they are all very different. I think what's special about that last one is trying to take a special piece that's a little bit inside for folks who went to A&M, who know the traditions, know the passion, and we're going to try to do that across every school in the SEC. Because what we want to have happen is we want local touch points to focus our message. We want each community to become advocates for us. And so one of the tactics here, and this was unprompted on-site activation by Texas A&M and Jason Cook, who's here, thank you for the support and help. But they printed 10,000 cards to distribute at athletic events. You have one on your table in front of you, just to get the message out. That the only way to watch the A&M at South Carolina game on August 28th is to have the network. And that's key for us, is to communicate, be open, transparent, honest about what we're doing with the product here. Huge opportunity for us, and appreciate one great example of how we activate locally. We then want to extend that into digital and social media. So we have a bunch of messages that we put through various feeds, both at SEC Network, various ESPN feeds, to push up the messaging and awareness. And then what we want is for that to be extended locally as well. So to have Texas A&M pick up on what we're saying locally, and also help us in terms of cultivate local messaging that may be more relevant than what we see nationally, whether that be in Connecticut or Charlotte or throughout the country, and get it right. Again, important to connect with the fans and get it right. So let me close with this, and then I think Commissioner Slive and I will take questions. I said that I'd be asking for your help and your input, and so I just outlined sort of five things here that would be very valuable for us as we gear up for launch. The first is to go to getsecnetwork.com and go there and register. Give an email address. You note your favorite school, your favorite program. It helps us as we create updates to communicate one-to-one with fans. So that's the first one. The second is to let your pay TV provider know directly that you want the network. So whether that's Suddenlink or Dish or DirecTV or otherwise, they do listen. You may not think so, and you may not like paying the bill every month, but I'm telling you, they listen, and to the extent you reach out to them, they will listen. Additive to that is to tell friends and other fans about the network and our efforts. The fact that you know that this is going on makes you certainly better educated and more knowing than others out there. To the extent you're in a cocktail conversation and you mention it, that's great for us. You can follow us on Twitter at SEC Network to get updates. And then last but not least, and I actually think this is the most important element, and that is to continue to be fans, to watch the network and to give us feedback. We are going to make mistakes along the way. We are going to miss with certain things. I'd like to tell you that it's going to be few and far between, but it will happen. And what makes us better is to get the feedback from fans who care. And don't just turn us off and don't just dismiss us. Give us the feedback, because we digest it, we think about it, and we make changes based on it. And all we're asking is that people continue to engage with the content and engage in the dialogue, because at the end of the day, that's really what we're trying to do, is create a dialogue in terms of how we cover sports and how we serve sports fans. So appreciate it. Thank you so much for the opportunity. And with this, I think we'll take some questions.
You guys are good for another 5 minutes or so? You guys are okay for another 5 minutes or so?
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Great. All right. So we have a question here. How does this fit into a cable pricing package? Do you see this as being a separate purchase, another tier? Obviously, we won't be coming home to sit down and just watch it over free TV anymore.
Right. So the expectation, and if the AT&T deal is any guide, is that it would be in a package of services with ESPN and ESPN2. So it would be in what's typically called the expanded basic package of networks and services. That's the vision.
Is there any anticipation it'll be sold as a separate tier like the Longhorn Network was?
No.
Just wanted to ask.
No.
Sit down, Mike. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. I'm just kidding.
We do live and learn. No.
Okay.